Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, and assist means so much more with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy lineup. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all of the daily fantasy action, where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey, everyone. Andy here. Just before we get into today's episode, I'm just inserting this little disclaimer to say that we recorded this, James and I, on Tuesday night before the shit hit the proverbial fan. So we don't get into everything that's happened with the Rangers statement, the firing of JD and Jeff Gorton. And we were going to insert a little tag along to this episode, but we said this is too important and needs to be covered in long form. So that episode will drop Monday with all of our thoughts and our analysis of what just in the hell is going on, why this happened, and how does this affect the Rangers moving forward. So yes, we are aware that now, as of recording this, of course, this happens right after we sit down to record our episode, but can't be helped. So enjoy this episode where we break down just everything with Tom Wilson, our reactions to the lack of action from the Department of Player Safety. And next weekend, we will be sure to cover just the absolute calamity going on around the New York Rangers right now. Enjoy the episode. Bye.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 2, Episode 43, as Andy and I are back to discuss the biggest news in the NHL that happened, well, it happened last night, but it really didn't become national news today. So, Andy, I know we are both working pretty much, you know, 15 to 17-hour days. That's not even including travel. I'm upstate. I was on a farm all day today, just basically in and out of shooting. And, you know, it just was an exhausting day, and Twitter certainly didn't help. But first, I got to ask you, how are you doing?
You know, I, like you said, very tired. Also, I just finished recording a roundtable with some of my fellow hosts here on the Hockey Podcast Network for the Mass Mutual East Division. We broke down just kind of our feelings on the teams in the East this year, how their seasons went, previewed some playoff matchups, and obviously we spoke about the elephant in the room, that is the Tom Wilson debacle, as we're also going to get into this. So again, I tried to conserve my energy because, A, you know, it's like I tried to have an actual discourse with people that viewed the situation differently than I did on that one, just to kind of get all sides and also get at the bottom of it. But now that I'm in a safe place in a safe space on this podcast, I can unequivocally say, you know, fuck Tom Wilson and the fact that he only got a $5,000 fine for the hit on Buchnevich and absolutely nothing for slamming Panarin's head to the ice is a fucking joke. And yeah, I mean, I'm lost for words, and I don't know who to put more of the blame on, him or the fact that this league is a you know, fucking joke, and they have to do absolutely nothing to protect their players, and they wonder why their stars don't like want to show personality or carry water for them or be involved with their things, is because they literally, at the end of the day, I don't know if they think it's a privilege to be in the league. You know, they always say they do, but at the same way, they don't seem to love it the way the NBA players love being in the NBA, or, you know, NFL players like love being in the NFL, just because I think they really feel that their best interests are looked after, whether that's financially or their health long term, especially everything with COVID and the protocols and everything, just everything that's gone on the last two seasons. So you even told me that, like, you made jokes about, like, I think I texted you earlier and I was like, I have a good feeling like they're gonna throw the book at him, and now, yeah, I look like an idiot, and you were like, oh, Andy, you naive little idiot, like, they're not gonna do anything. If anything, they're gonna, you know, you said they were gonna, like, yeah,
well, it was a safe bet. It was a safe bet. And, you know, for me to look back at those text messages that we sent back and forth this morning, you know, it's not like I knew something. It was just, well, how does the league usually handle this stuff? Oh, they botch it? Okay, well, show me evidence where they, you know, you thought they were going to, you know, start to improve. They just, every situation they find themselves in with discipline, they seem to just swing and miss. And I think this one was a little bit different, because if it was a player that was new to this, you know, disciplinary system, who hasn't been suspended, I could almost see how, like, the $5,000 fine would be a part of, like, a suspension, like maybe 3 games, and that would be laughable. Like, 3 games would be like, okay. And, you know, you got to look at the event and what happened. It wasn't just, you know, a BS hit on Buchnevich. It was the fact that he took one of the best players in the NHL, grabbed him by the hair, and, like, slew foot body slammed him down to the ice. And that's just not, like a New York Ranger versus, you know, Washington Capitol problem. That's like a player on player. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. That's like intent to injure. And that's exactly what the league is trying to, you know, take away. Like, they make such a big fuss over, you know, elbows to the face, and sometimes those, I know, aren't so black and white. Like, they're moving at incredible speeds, people are changing lanes at the last second, and, you know, body parts are just flying around. But this was like clear intent to do harm, and it put Panarin in a really vulnerable position. And, you know, I point out to the Panarin hit, because I just feel like he, you know, like, the fact that he didn't have a helmet on, and if his head, like, cracked the ice, like, you're not looking at, like, a concussion. You're looking at something that could potentially, like, seriously injure him, like, to a permanent status. And, you know, that's just not okay. And for the NHL to sit there and say $5,000, like, weren't, like, the criteria, like, does this player have a history? Was it intentional? Could it have been avoided? Like, show me where in the criteria that if like they were like, okay, well, this matches up, and these 3 crimes equal a $5,000 fine. Like, $5,000? Like, that's laughable. That's like nothing. It literally is nothing. And, like, Andy, I like, if you can answer this question for me, because now I'm fired up. Like, this is the first time I've got to speak about this and get it off my chest. But, you know, can you talk me into a situation where I'm wrong? Like, my feelings on this situation isn't justified?
Well, again, you're definitely asking the wrong guy, because I feel the same way you do. And that's the thing, is that it's like, even some of the, and I spoke about this a bit on the roundtable, that a lot of this is that for a guy who repeatedly finds himself in these situations or plays a certain way, let's even just call it that, just out of the illusion of fairness, right? That Wilson is a guy who constantly finds himself in these situations that are either borderline or questionable or dirty or gray area or whatever. The biggest thing is that because the punishment he gets never fits the crime. Like, he gets 7 games for that hit on not Carlo, right? But the, earlier this season. Or was that earlier this season you got seven games for? Was that Carlo?
An event, seven games. I couldn't name you the specific event, but he got suspended earlier this season, yes.
Yeah, and with that, it was kind of, it wasn't this. It wasn't like between the, after the whistles, like total control of your faculties. Like, if you suspect, that's the thing, is that they keep like messing up and not just, the punishment never fits the crime with him. So when he gets suspended seven great games, it's on a late, it's on like a late hit, which is kind of a gray area where I understand what you're trying to do. But when you're not consistent, all that does is that he now goes, this is bullshit. Like, I was just trying to finish my check and you give me seven games. And then like stuff like this happens and he doesn't get anything. And it almost gasses him up. He was flexing in the box after doing it. He knew exactly what he was doing. Like,
absolutely.
And further, the more this stuff happens, like, it hasn't reached Matt Cook territory where literally the Penguins and Mario Lemieux have to sit him down and be like, you active, like, you think you're helping us because you've wrapped yourself in this like uber, like the world's most dangerous pest persona, but it actually hurts us because we're always shorthanded and you're going to hurt someone and you get taken out of the lineup and then we can't play you. It's hasn't reached there yet, but you see the way
there now.
That's the thing, is that you see the way that Caps fans and social media and their beat writers and obviously the coaching staff and their organizations, they, because now they have this thing where they feel it's like, oh, every time he touches Breeze, it's a witch hunt for Tom Wilson. So we gotta protect this guy. And they rally around him and it just gasses Tom Wilson up more, because meanwhile, the league never does anything. So that obviously makes the rest of the hockey pundits and fandom louder. Like, why aren't you doing anything? This guy is a menace, whatever. Whereas where the league just said, you know what, I don't care if it was incidental or not, you hit this guy in the head and we're trying to outlaw this. And sorry, like, this is going to be automatic for anything that involved with the head, like, it's this many games. And then they might not like it, but at the same time, they'll be like, good. And it's like no longer becomes about Tom Wilson skirting the law or Tom Wilson can't keep getting away with this. And it like kind of addresses it. But again, instead, they just kind of arbitrarily, in the regular season where they feel like, oh, well, we won't piss them off too bad because the regular season, they're still a good team, which shouldn't have any bearing on it. And they're just like, all right, we'll just give him seven games. And now he's incensed because he was actually trying, maybe that was one of the plays, he was actually just trying to be on the line or try to be right, just finish his check, do what he was taught in hockey school or just growing up. And now it, like I said, it almost galvanizes him to be more of that like thing you hate, because he feels like he is maligned unfairly and, you know, whatever. He just kind of plays the role of the villain. And it's just kind of like the snake eating its own tail. It's like the more the player safety continues to do fuck all, and the more the league doesn't protect its stars. And now, as of recording this, there was a clip where obviously that Penguins Flyers game tonight got chippy. Crosby and Konechny were wrestling, and at some point while they were wrestling, Crosby kind of does the same thing. He takes Konechny's head and attempts to like kind of drive it towards the ice while they're wrestling, and it doesn't look
as
loud. Severe.
That serves nothing. You can't even talk about it, because clearly, when the NHL would review a situation like that, there's nothing really to look at.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, it's a little different because A, it's going on behind the play, they're wrestling, and it happens. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if it's one of those things where it looks like he's trying to take his head and drive it to the ice, you know, and there's obviously a difference between getting a guy in headlock and trying to do like a takeover, you know, as opposed to like literally what Wilson did and try to slew foot a guy and slam his head, the back of his head on the ice, like a basketball. Like, that's not what Crosby did. But yeah, it's just, until they, especially just making head contact, no matter what it is, more of a thing, I think that this will continue to go on.
Well,
and again, we create the situation where like Wilson supporters just feel like they just get so tired of every time something happens with their boy that like they almost feel like they have to rally around him and then beat the drum the other way, you know, which is like doesn't serve anyone, doesn't really serve them, because eventually Tom Wilson will accidentally end someone's career or hurt something, and then either he's done as an NHL player and they don't have him anymore and he can't take that back. If you ask me, is he a sociopath? I don't think he's a sociopath. I think he's a guy who's just kind of too wrapped up in his own role. You know, Marchand a few times has gone over the edge, although in a different way, because he's not a physical freak like Tom Wilson and he's licking people. But yeah, just that happens. So, but it was bullshit that absolutely nothing has come of it. And it was further bullshit that, you know, player safety continues to be a joke. But
well,
I
that's what I want to ask you. I wanted to ask you about the player safety because I have my opinion about them. And you know, I wanted to ask you, like, why are they so incompetent? Like, how come they drop the ball every time? Like, it's not 50% of the time. It's almost every time. There's always controversy with the, you know, suspension or the fine. It's either way too aggressive or not enough. It just... It, whenever they have a problem, the, you know, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. And, you know, in this situation, like, where would the benefit of not suspending him be? Like, okay, the Capitals are in the playoffs. They're playing, you know, a hockey to essentially seed themselves into a situation where it really just doesn't matter at this point. Like, I really honestly, truly think the seeding with these four teams doesn't truly matter. I know home ice advantage would be huge, but I don't know. Given the fact that, like, I would imagine there's limited capacity within these buildings still. I don't really know about that, but I would say, like, is home ice really worth it? Like, the NHL had an opportunity just to suspend him for the rest of the regular season at minimum. And, like, it would have been such an easy thing to do. It would have been the right thing to do. And I still think, like, people would, like, kind of scoff at that punishment, but, you know, why didn't they do it? Like, what is your best guess? Like, they're sitting in the room discussing this, you know, I would hope, you know, getting, you know, opinions from, you know, different people around the league, including the disciplinary board. You know, why would they come up with this conclusion?
Well, one of the biggest things, especially with it being headed by Paros, where the whole idea, where in the past has been people like Shanahan, who is obviously, he could actually play. He wasn't like an enforcer like Paros was, but at the same time, he wasn't shy about fighting and hitting and all those type of the physicality surrounding the NHL. But there's this prevalent idea that it's like we need the player safety needs to have a strong presence or be spearheaded by someone who has played the game and understand. But the problem is, I think these guys can't separate themselves, or even if they say they can, is like, oh, like, because it's like, you know, you, it's like, who better to catch a criminal or than a criminal, right? That's what they always say. But right. I don't think it works, because I think they think about all these things, and I think they take into consideration, oh well, Char is 40 whatever years old, and this might be his last kick at the can, and this core is old, and like, I'm not saying for sure. I obviously don't know for sure if this is the stuff that goes in through these guys' heads, but I do think there's a part of it. I do think they think about circumstance or connections to when they play the game, or hell, even that type of stuff aside, just when they're like in those situations, if they're someone who has a memory of being in that scrum and being like, oh, well, I, you know, understand it's like there was a lot going on, but it's like, they tell you to control your stick, even though you're inevitably going to clip someone, and it's not always your fault. Sometimes it ramps up or whatever, but it doesn't matter. It's just, the whole point is that you have to do your best to be in control of your actions, and if you can't, you have to pay some consequence. So I do think it would maybe behoove the league to have someone in that spot who is, you know, maybe not, honestly, maybe not a hockey person. You know, as weird as it is to say, because at the same time, it's like, we've been doing this and it hasn't, you know, it definitely wasn't good right under Shanahan. Although I do think it's been a little bit worse under Paros, where, you know, Shanahan had the videos explaining the thought process and he would go through it, especially in harder to decipher ones why, they knew it would be a controversial decision. But yeah, I just don't think Paros has ever done a good job since he's been in the spot. And you're never going to please everyone. That's inherent to the job, which sucks. I get it. But if it was a repeatedly situation, it was like where every time it was either too many or, you know, or they're too much or three too less, but they were still getting something, I don't think we'd be in this situation. The practice is just arbitrary, you know? So Tom Wilson gets fined the same amount that Nathan MacKinnon got for chucking his bucket at someone's shoulder pads because he was mad at him. Well, five grand.
It's like, funny that you said that. Is someone tweeted, I don't know how true this was, but didn't Henrik Lundqvist get fined $5,000 for squirting water in Crosby's face, skating white to the bench? So that's like what essentially those two.
And that's the thing, is that it's like, there's a lot to blame, because I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to this, obviously, to the situation that happened as it went down, and the fact that obviously the league is going to like, never going to say they got one wrong, right? The Players Association doesn't help police themselves. If anything, you'd think that they should be all over it, and they should be, you know, like, they don't want to pick sides, or because they're going to be silent, because that means they have to go against one of their players, even though it's like at the expense, maybe, or one of their other members got hurt, but they're silent on all this. And, you know, the funny thing is, because, and I, this is something else I spoke about. So the further, like, as they remain quiet, naturally the narrative shifted, right? It shifted from, you know, what's it going to be, to this is bullshit. And then you saw it everywhere. It's like, well, the Rangers have to street justice time, right? They have to literally find some mutant in like the East Coast League, or the, you know, call up Mason Gerritsen, or like sign Colton Orr to a PTO, or, you know, take a swab, you know, a swab of Tony Twist's saliva and mix it with Bob Probert's blood, and like make a super freak in like a Petri dish, right, for this game on tomorrow night.
I know someone that can play.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't know Tony D'Angelo. It'd just be like, you got one game left.
That's right. Can you imagine? It's like, Tony, we will invite you back to this team, but you have to beat, you have to fight, and Tom Wilson, you have to win. But my whole point with this is saying that it has become the narrative now, is that like, they won't protect us, so we have to protect ourselves, or we have to take, or, you know, they won't help us, so we have to do it ourselves. And in a way, yes, that's damning on the league, but then it just kind of reverts the whole talk back to the code, and will he answer the bell when challenged, and how are the Rangers going to like save face, and all this other stuff. And it almost subsequently becomes less about the fact that the league isn't going to do anything, you know? Because let's say the Rangers do call up Mason Gerritsen, right? And let's say he does challenge Wilson to a fight. Let's say they fight. Let's say it goes on 45 seconds. It's rather uneventful. You know, maybe each guy gets a few cracks in, and then they finally get it brought up, and then everyone taps their sticks, and they're like, yeah, the Rangers stood up for themselves. That's right. They're not going to take this, you know, pushing over. And it's like, yeah, finally Wilson got his comeuppance, but at least, you know what, he knew he fucked up, and he answered the bell. And then it's over for them. Panarin, it's not over for, because he just is out the rest of the season. He's hurt. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or the next person Wilson does this to. And it doesn't solve anything. It becomes... So I was actually happy, because I want to talk about this with you now, is that the Rangers now come out with a statement, because apparently they're clearly incensed by the fact that nothing was happening. And also, it seems like the narrative is kind of getting away. Well, it's because everyone was like, well, I guess that's it. You know, 5K for doing, you know, for holding a stick to the back of Buchnevich's neck and giving rabbit punches, and nothing for Panarin. So then they release a statement. Sometime this evening. Statement from the New York Rangers. The New York Rangers are extremely disappointed that Capitals forward Tom Wilson was not suspended for his horrifying act of violence last night at Madison Square Garden. Wilson is a repeat offender with a long history of these types of acts, and we find it shocking that the NHL and their Department of Player Safety failed to take the appropriate action and suspend him indefinitely. Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused an injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent him from playing again this season. We view this as a dereliction of duty by the head of any player safety, George Parris, and believe he is unfit to continue his current role. A lot to unpack here, because the Rangers are a notoriously milquetoast organization who hates clapping back at people, even on Twitter, because they just don't want to be classy. And yet now they just put out a statement condemning not only Tom Wilson, but condemning the league, condemning George Parros, and saying he should be fired for this summation of judgment he had.
What's up, everybody? It's Jaren from the Hockey Podcast Network's newest show, the Windy City Benders Podcast. My co-host Tanner and I bring our unique takes on Blackhawks hockey.
Us on the show have been a pro Carlton guy. He's the right coach for the situation.
Giving it to our rivals.
That's one of the things that kind of sucks. I wish we would have had the Blues in our division this year because our trash.
As well as bringing in some guests from the NHL.
Please welcome to the show, goaltender Scott Darling.
The Eagle himself, Ed Belfour.
Brian Bickle.
David Boland.
Letterkenny.
The show started out with basically a beer league hockey team.
And anybody who loves the game. Find us on all your favorite podcast apps, the Hockey Podcast Network website, and on social media at WCB Podcast.
A lot to unpack. What are your thoughts to this? How does this make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton to unpack. First, I'll talk about the statement, and then I'd like to get into a little bit about the inevitable Rangers response, because I think that's really important. But you know, about the written response, the official statement from the New York Rangers, I think that is almost a, you know, that was more, they owed that debt to, you know, Panarin. They owed it to Buchnevich. They owed it to, you know, their players to say, hey, as an organization, we can't come out and say all the things that people are saying on Twitter, but we agree with them. We got your back. And, you know, we have to fight this our way, because they can't fight it the same way, you know, the players can. They just can't. It's just not, you know, it's just not realistic for the New York Rangers, you know, front office to come out and, you know, just start tweeting up a shitstorm about Wilson. And it's just it's a bad look. It's a bad optic for the Rangers to do that. So what they do is they put out a statement that it was very direct, very clear, and I think it sent the message that the New York Rangers organization is not happy. And, you know, whether or not there's no teeth to this bite, but we'll see. Ultimately, I think now like you said, the response from the NHL, the response from the Rangers organization is only two parts of the three prongs here, because now there's got to be a response from the locker room. I was going to ask you at the beginning of this podcast, like, you know, eventually when we got to this point, you know, if you're a player or you're David Quinn, what are you saying to your team? Because I know I have my message, but I want to hear yours first without any influence from me.
Yeah. Well, so when thinking about this, there's definitely a lot of problems. You know, traditionally, like I said, this would be time for vigilante justice. We take things in our own hands. So he has to answer the bell. The problem is the Rangers are already decimated by injuries. They are the youngest team in the league. And the way they are currently constructed is, they're a bunch of skilled, yet I don't want to say soft. I don't think that's right. But they're skill players. They're not
skilled and,
you know,
growing.
They can maybe fight Buchnevich. Can be feisty at times, but he's not a fighter. Like, Ryan Lindgren's out of the lineup. He's hurt. Jacob Trouba's hurt. I guess Brendan Smith isn't afraid to drop the gloves, but, you know, is he really going to make a difference? Is he going to fight Tom Wilson? Like, you know what I mean? That's the thing. It's not, this team doesn't have, because even if, let's say the Islanders have a Matt Martin to handle it. Well, let's say he's not in the lineup or he's hurt or whatever. Well, you know, it's not perfect, but Cal Clutterbuck is a tough customer. I guess they have Ross Johnson. I don't know if he still even plays for them, but he's just, you know, he's obviously a tough guy. And Pellick and Pullock are both bigger guys, you know what I mean, who I'm sure they could at least chuck if they had to. I'm sure when they're not fighters, but they're not like Zibanejad, where they're not Switzerland. They just don't engage, you know what I mean? And yeah, listen, it's not fair to, it's like, you know, it's not, Keandre Miller's a kid. He's not going to fight. Neither will Lafreniere. Neither will Kako. I don't even, you know, Lafreniere might be game, I guess, because he's a gamer, but, you know, but Lafreniere, but Kako and Miller, no. And they're teenagers. They get mauled alive by Tom Wilson. So, and that's the thing, is that this team doesn't have, like, so the message would be that, I guess, you know, so then obviously Quinn is going to say beat him on the scoreboard, but that just means they're going to go out and they're just going to further bully this team. And the Rangers, because they're not as big or heavy or strong or you know, confident or just all those things are going to eventually wilt, and it's going to be a similar score to what happened last night. That's definitely what's going
to
happen.
I tell you what, though, if I'm managing the New York Rangers and a word gets back to me that Quinn says to them in the locker room, beat them on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I agree. You should be fucking fired immediately.
Yeah, fired. I mean, this is realistically, this is, you know, and this is like what I, you know, I tweeted at, you know, Hockey Troll, because obviously, I mean, he's just looking, you know, to troll.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did respond back because I felt like I just kind of had to. And, you know, I was sitting on a farm all day long, so I was bored. You know, if I'm David Quinn, you know, I walk into that locker room and I say, you know, I not pull Mika or, you know, whoever the captain, obviously Trouba's not in the lineup. And but I kind of pull, you know, Mika aside and I say, listen, you guys, I'm going to close the door. Right. I'm going to give you guys as much time as you need to figure out how you all want to respond to what happened last night. Whatever you choose to do, you have my full support. And, you know, I will, you know, back you guys 100%. This is not an easy situation to be in, given the youth on our team, given the lack of ability to, let's just say, to defend yourself. And it could put a lot of people and a lot of kids in vulnerable positions. And for me to slap, you know, Brendan Smith on the butt and say, you know, go have a tilt, I think that's unfair to put him in that position. That's why you all need to sit down in the locker room and, you know, discuss how you want to handle it. Because something has to be done, but it can't come from me. I'm just a coach. It needs to come from the players. So whatever you need to do, figure it out and, you know, police it yourself. You know, if this is something that you want to come and talk to me prior to the game, I'm all ears. I'm not going to voice my opinion because, you know, my job here is to support you guys, and put you in the best position to win a hockey game. I can't be the guy that tells you to go out there and fight. You know, that wouldn't be fair. So that's the message I would send to Quinn. Or
I'm firing Quinn and I'm making you the coach tomorrow. Cause yeah. That's literally the perfect thing to say.
And then, you know, and then if, you know, if I'm Mika, you know, I sit everybody down and say, like, listen, this sucks. Like, without a doubt. I mean, look what they did to, you know, Artemi Panarin, the best fucking left winger in the National Hockey League, you know, and, you know, I'm looking, you know, I'm expecting nothing from no one, but I honestly think whoever the captain of this hockey team is right now, and, you know, you can point the finger at Mika and he might be the closest one, then Mika's got to fight. And, you know, this situation kind of reminds me, ironically, of the Rangers and Capitals when Brendan Shanahan had to drop the gloves with Brashear. And I was at that game, and, you know, it is what it is. I don't know how the Capitals are going to handle it on their end. You know, I would assume Ovechkin is not playing. I would assume Wilson will be playing. It's going to be a tough situation, but ultimately it's up to the locker room. And, you know, that's why, like, even you and I, we may host a New York Rangers podcast, but we're not in the locker room. We don't know how it's truly affecting us as a team. And, you know, we don't know, you know, what, how we want to handle it. And, you know, whatever that locker room feels that they should handle it, obviously we have our opinion, but, you know, I think they're going to do something along those lines as sending someone out to fight Wilson, maybe possibly run the goalie and just kind of give cheap shots all night, you know, behind the play slashes and stuff. I would imagine that's how they're going to be handling it. But ultimately, you know, that's how it needs to be handled and addressed. And, you know, it's unfortunate that the league puts these players in these situations, because there's no way in hell, if I'm, you know, on the board and the head of, you know, the disciplinary committee for the NHL, is Wilson playing against the New York Rangers two nights later after trying to, you know, intentionally hurt, you know, one of the best players in the National Hockey League.
That's very well said. And after our discussion in the last podcast where we spoke about the fact that this way this team is currently constructed is not, you know, they did what they had to do to get the marquee pieces and the high profile skill talent that you obviously need to win. But at the same time, you also need a different element. And it'll be interesting now if this doesn't add more fuel to the fire that they need to add. You know, this might even make them further resolve to go even harder on not only someone who like can forecheck heavy and play a heavier game or more in your face game, but also can, you know, do those things like fight. Like, yeah, I don't know. You have to wonder, like, now does this, because, you know, obviously much has been made about Eichel. And listen, this is more of a pipe dream or just me thinking aloud here, but it's like you have a team like Calgary that's going to blow it up. How do they feel about a Matt Tkachuk? Do they want, you know, is he worth what they're going to have to pay him next? Or because I know the Rangers would probably give up a King's ransom for a player like that, right? So, or it's not, even if you don't go that high end, like even if you're just like, all right, we need to get like a Barkley Goodrow or, you know, they missed out on Sam Bennett. I'm sure they're kicking themselves now because he's someone who would have been perfect for in that situation for them, you know, but,
right.
Yeah, just it's like I do think this will strengthens their resolve to get more established, like, you know, in your face bottom six, like difficult to play against players, you know. I mean, every team did it. You look at what the Maple Leafs did over the summer, and it seems to at least have worked for them. And it's funny, it's because it's one of those things where it's like you look at on paper from a skill perspective, it's usually the players end up being worse, but just for whatever reason, it stabilizes the lineup and they all walk a little taller. It's like why, you know, Andy Green for the Isles is old as dirt, but you put him in and he just kind of stabilizes the lineup because he's been around forever and he knows how to play situational hockey. It was kind of the same thing almost with Staal and Girardi for a bit. You're just like, they're objectively not good players, but there is this feeling of like, oh, we're safe because this guy has been around forever. So it's like everything's okay, you know, which is weird. It's a weird phenomenon, but it happens. So, but yeah, I mean, they're going to try to do what they can. And I'm sure you'll have shifts where the kids are forechecking extra hard. And then obviously, I'm sure at some point the Capitals will get annoyed and maybe start, you know, and that's the problem because it's like, I'm sure because, you know, the Rangers have some big kids and they're only getting bigger. But at the same time, it's like, I think Washington is one of the heaviest teams in the league and one of the taller teams in the league. You know, they have players like Chara and Wilson and yeah, they have some meat on that team. So can the Rangers do much? Probably not. They're going to try to do what they can. They're going to try to win. But again, I can't see, you know, if they want to try to go down the same alley they went down the last game, because even they tried to stick up for themselves and it just still didn't go well, you know? So I don't know if much is going to come from it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And, you know, to kind of just put a button, you know, on this podcast and, you know, not to beat a dead horse here, but, you know, it ultimately comes down to, you know, Rangers finding their identity. And, you know, maybe this is an event that kind of turns this organization and opens their eyes and realizes that there's an element of this team that maybe we're overlooking. And, you know, maybe all this draft capital that we, you know, gained over the last few years and the draft luck that we've received and, you know, all these high picks are great and all, but there's still an element that we're kind of ignoring. And if we don't mix in that ingredient, you know, early on in this process, you know, is that gonna put us behind the eight ball and, you know, make us a team in which we're easier to play against? And I know I kind of said that the last podcast that, you know, against the New York Islanders, the Rangers looked real easy to play against. And, you know, I know we had a bunch of injuries, but, you know, at the same time, I think that theme still carries on against, you know, the teams like Washington, the Bruins and the Penguins and the Islanders, that, you know, these are elite teams going for a Stanley Cup and you want to be difficult to play against. You want to have every element of a good hockey team growing as one as you develop into a contender. And I think the Rangers finally, you know, realized, hopefully, that element of that grit, that heavy style of play that is not always you just said it. It's not always pretty, and they're not always the best players, but it stabilizes the lineup. It stabilizes your team. It gives a sense of confidence for your top players, your star players. And, you know, the Rangers were certainly missing that. And, well, now's a great time to address that, because you saw what happens when teams, you know, take advantage maybe of the current Ranger lineup.
$5,000, fucking bullshit.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.